Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Disarming the Narcissist by Wendy T. Beharry, LCSW. Foreword by Jeffrey Young, Ph.D. Preface by Daniel J. Siegel, M.D. Narrated by Joanna Garcia. Publisher's Note. This publication is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering psychological, financial, legal, or other professional services. If expert assistance or counseling is needed, the services of a competent professional should be sought. Foreword. Over the years, one of the most common issues that my clients have brought into therapy is how to deal with self-centered, egotistical behavior of narcissistic partners. These clients almost always feel frustrated, angry, demeaned, and helpless over the almost total lack of sensitivity and empathy their partners show for their needs and feelings. I myself often sit in sessions in disbelief as I hear story after story describing the degree of selfishness these clients have to put up with. So often, my clients can't seem to find the strength to either leave or stand up to the narcissists they fell in love with years ago. I am so excited that my close friend and colleague, Wendy Beharry, has written this definitive book on dealing with narcissists to help the countless number of people who, like my clients, try to live or work with narcissists on a daily basis. While there are several other self-help books on this topic, Disarming the Narcissist addresses the issue with great sophistication, depth, and compassion, and offers highly effective strategies for change. Wendy has devoted years of clinical practice to the specialized treatment of narcissists and their partners, making her the perfect author to tackle this very difficult and resistant problem. Wendy draws on two fields of science and therapy to help one better understand and deal with narcissism: schema therapy and interpersonal neurobiology. Schema therapy is an approach I and many colleagues have been developing over the past 20 years to help therapists, clients, and others better understand the deep emotional themes, or schemas, that begin when we are children and eventually lead most of us to engage in repetitive and self-destructive life patterns. I first presented these ideas for the layperson in Reinventing Your Life. Disarming the Narcissist extends the concepts of schema therapy into work with narcissism and includes fresh insights and perspectives that I had never envisioned before this book. Wendy provides a wonderful explanation of how schemas, like defectiveness and emotional deprivation, affect our lives in dramatic ways. Her unique contributions to schema therapy lead us to a deeper understanding of the narcissists in our lives, as well as show us how to overcome our own demons that keep us from dealing effectively with narcissistic partners, parents, friends, and colleagues. I am pleased that Wendy has gone so far beyond the cliches and simplistic advice that many other books and therapists offer. There are no simple answers or techniques when it comes to changing narcissism. You will have to delve into this book and work hard to truly understand the wealth of material presented here, but the rewards will be commensurate with your effort. You will learn about the different categories of narcissists, the range of strategies that narcissists so skillfully employ to disarm you, and even convince you that you are to blame for their complaints, and the importance of emphatic confrontation as a method of communicating with and standing up to narcissists. Wendy offers invaluable suggestions on ways to develop and sustain compassion for narcissists, even when you are being mistreated, and on how to create enough leverage to convince a narcissist to change. Disarming the Narcissist also provides rich case examples that bring this approach to life. If you put in the time required to understand the insights Wendy describes and practice the techniques she offers, you will probably for the first time have a set of tools that shift the odds in your favor in your relationship. You will have a newfound confidence that you know how to respond when your partner humiliates you in front of friends and family members or says things like, "You're so stupid if you can't see that my way is the only intelligent one." I want to conclude by emphasizing a point that Wendy makes repeatedly in this book, a point that is central to schema therapy. As with any other personality problem, we need to approach narcissists and those who live with them in a compassionate way. Most narcissists are not evil or bad at a deeper level, no matter how they treat us. If you can learn to assert your rights while simultaneously working hard to reach the vulnerable, lonely core of the narcissist in your life, you stand a much better chance of bringing out the side of your partner that can love and care for you. I know of no better way to achieve this compassionate road to change than to start disarming the narcissist now. As Wendy says in her conclusion, the self-help journey can be both lonely and arduous, but the dramatic changes in your relationship will usually more than repay your efforts. I recommend this outstanding book to anyone who lives with, works with, or treats narcissists, including their partners, work associates, family members, and therapists. Jeffrey Young, Ph.D., Director, Cognitive Therapy Center and Schema Therapy Institute of New York, Faculty Member, Department of Psychiatry, Columbia University, Founder, International Society of Schema Therapy. Preface. If you are in a relationship with someone who exhibits the traits of a narcissistic individual, don't think twice before you listen to this book. In Disarming the Narcissist, Wendy Bahari offers a practical toolkit that gives us insights into how we can manage the emotional challenges of relating to someone who does not relate to us, the narcissistic individual. This gem of a how-to survival guide is filled with useful tips informed by two branches of science: the cognitive science view of how the mind is organized around schemas, and my own field, interpersonal neurobiology. Schemas are generalized filters that bias our perceptions and alter our thinking. For two decades, the author has immersed herself in schema therapy and treatment of those with narcissism as their major issue in psychotherapy. Using this science background and her practical experience as a therapist, Wendy Bahari walks us through easy-to-understand explanations of how the mind of a narcissist works. We come to see the schemas that organize how a narcissist sees the world and how that perspective is often devoid of interest in the eternal world of others. Interpersonal neurobiology examines the connections among relationships, the mind, and the brain. Our professor of how to get along with a narcissist, Wendy Bahari, has been studying this field intensively with me for many years, and she has deftly applied it to her own area of expertise in dealing with these individuals who lack the knack of empathy. The circuits in the brain that enable us to imagine the internal subjective experience, the mind, of another person may not be well-developed or easily accessed in the narcissist. Mindsight is our capacity to see the mind itself, in ourselves and in others, and in narcissists, it is often poorly developed. Therefore, relationships with such an individual will feel lopsided. Conversations and interactions are all about the other person, not about you or the two of you as a we. This lack of empathy in a relationship affects the social circuits of the brain that help create an integrated sense of balance and well-being. Such an imbalance can make you feel isolated and alone. Your mind may become incoherent and your usual sense of vitality drained. The reaction to such feelings can depend on your own makeup. You may become angry and frustrated, or sullen and withdrawn. Or you may find yourself feeling ashamed, as if you have done something wrong and deserve such an experience of being ignored. In these and other common responses, the relationship with a narcissist individual creates a cascade of neural reactions that are far from the mental well-being associated with coherence of mind and empathy and compassion in relationships. This is a form of stress that you deserve to reduce in your life, even if you cannot change the other person. The knowledge embedded in this book can serve as a powerful means to help you deal with this stress through insight and information. If you're in any sort of close relationship with a narcissist, you may be in dire need of new ways to understand the situation and respond for the sake of the health of your mind, your brain, and your relationships. Fortunately, the advice in this book will guide you through the challenges of both surviving and optimizing a relationship with someone who initially has so little to give, but who often takes so much. At the very least, this guide will help you understand the mechanisms of mind and brain that are at work in your relationship. This alone will help a great deal. But even more, the suggestions here offer the hope of change. With these science-based practical ideas, you may actually open the door to a new way of being, both for you and for the narcissist in your life. Taking the time to dive into this book and work with the ideas presented will be worth its weight in gold. If relating to a narcissist presents challenges in your life, why not start now? Continue on and start to learn how you can improve your life. Daniel J. Siegel, M.D., author of Mindsight, The Mindful Brain, and The Developing Mind, co-author of The Whole Brain Child and Parenting from the Inside Out, clinical professor of psychiatry, UCLA School of Medicine. Introduction. Too often we enjoy the comfort of opinion without the discomfort of thought. John F. Kennedy. Because you're listening to this book, you're likely in a relationship with a narcissist whose excessive self-centeredness and sense of entitlement have hurt both you and the relationship time and time again. The useful information, illuminating exercises, and effective strategies in this book can help you understand the narcissist in your life and how you might foster positive changes in your relationship. First, though, let's take a quick look at both our growing awareness of narcissism and the role empathy has to play in healing relationships afflicted by narcissism. An era of narcissism. In recent years, stories highlighting the offensive behaviors of celebrities, sports superstars, and politicians have cast a spotlight on self-serving lifestyles and a rules-don't-apply-to-me sense of entitlement. Terms such as narcissism, sex addiction, and lack of empathy have appeared in many headlines, boosting my book sales, thank you very much. Once limited to mental health settings, these expressions are joining the lexicon of everyday conversation, from social media sites to kitchen tables across the globe. As the term narcissism has become more widely used and understood, people are pleased and relieved to finally have a description that fits their self-absorbed partner, friend, boss, or family member. When Disarming the Narcissist was first released in 2008, there was little written on the subject of the layperson. The book offered a profile of narcissism and strategies that loved ones might use when dealing with a narcissist. I wrote the book largely in response to people who had expressed a genuine caring for and desire to understand the narcissist in their lives, despite the challenges. People who wanted to encourage change while getting their own needs met. It was also for those who were attempting to set limits, planning to exit a relationship, or struggling with the aftermath of a relationship with a narcissist, perhaps through co-parenting or by simply trying to recapture their self-worth. Given the surge of publicity surrounding narcissism, it isn't surprising that a host of books on this subject have emerged in recent years. Nevertheless, Disarming the Narcissist continues to present a unique approach to the challenges of dealing with a narcissist, offering a comprehensive explanation of narcissism and reasonable navigational tools while still recognizing that transformation is likely to be limited with this complicated personality type. The Wisdom of Empathy. This book's approach sometimes raises the ire of my colleagues, clients, and readers as they struggle to integrate their mindful hearts into the matter. Some say my book promotes too soft a touch with narcissists and that there is no hope for change with these magisterial maniacs. I understand. After all, people often find themselves shortchanged, frustrated, or dangerously threatened in interactions with narcissists, even after using all the tools of empathic confrontation and limit setting outlined in this book. Yet, potential solutions to this difficult quandary exist. To gather and maintain momentum with a narcissist, you must set forth meaningful consequences, something I'll discuss when we get to empathic confrontation. Here's another area of misunderstanding, and I will discuss in detail. What exactly is empathy, and how could it possibly apply to narcissists? A tattered heart and eroded hope may not allow for the patience and effort required to experiment with different approaches. Let's face it, it takes more than flawless elocution and carefully crafted language to bring about results. It takes leverage, persistence, an understanding of what you're up against, and a readiness to enforce consequences. For the therapist, it takes the laser-sharp focus of an Olympic athlete, fit emotional muscles, energetic endurance, and the capacity to be vulnerable, to be real, not just nice and not just smart. Most books on narcissism urge you to run. Don't walk away from the me, me, me madman or the vainglorious vamp. But as I've learned while facilitating support groups for those dealing with a narcissist, it isn't so easy when the narcissist is your spouse, someone you've dedicated decades of your life to, or the parent of your children. He probably isn't someone you're prepared to hand your kids over to every other weekend, nor is it so easy when she's your boss or your eldest daughter, and you aren't prepared to exit your job or lose contact with your grandchildren. The narcissist may be someone you love and understand, someone who captures your heart, albeit in brief moments when his vulnerability and humanness manage to sneak out of an oversized ego to show up as warm and caring. Sadly, it's always just a matter of time before he appears bored and disinterested. As quickly as he showed up, he slips away again. And you may wonder, does he carry you with him in his mind? Is a representation accurate? Does he get who you are, what you need, and what it feels like to be in your skin? This brings me back to empathy, a term that's particularly puzzling in the context of narcissism. I get a lot of questions about empathy, especially these. Isn't empathy just another word for compassion? How can one have empathy for a narcissist? Can a narcissist ever truly experience what happens inside another person's skin? Some of the brightest thinkers, including journalists, psychologists, researchers, political analysts, anthropologists, and even wordsmiths, investigate empathy, from studying mirror neurons to pondering moral consciousness. Without empathy, how can people predict the future, view themselves in compassion to others, and hold the world in their mind? In response to quandaries and incorporating new findings on this topic, the second edition of Disarming the Narcissist added more material on empathy, including how empathy promotes emotional stability. The second edition also added new material on the female narcissist in response to a significant number of individuals who wrote to me about their struggles with narcissistic women. The second edition recognized that sometimes the best option is to end the relationship. The third edition has a chapter dedicated to exit strategies. This new content addresses the risks and dangers of living with narcissists who demonstrate hazardous behaviors such as aggression, unremitting addictions, including to pornography, infidelity, gambling, and substances, and a missing moral compass combined with remorselessness and an elevated sense of entitlement. In this third edition of Disarming the Narcissist, I am pleased to once again respond to requests for more content related to important issues. 1. The hypersexuality of narcissists, sexual addiction, and the consequential hardship of experiencing and dealing with betrayal trauma. 2. Co-parenting with a narcissist, both from inside the marriage and from separate homes. And 3, finding an effective divorce attorney who is narcissism savvy and fluent in the art of mediating or litigating with a narcissistic counterpart. Indelible imprints. My interest in narcissism was seeded by unforgettable experiences with very difficult clients in my early years of practicing psychotherapy. Armed with only a hazy residue of information on the subject from graduate and postgraduate studies and a novice's enthusiasm for the psychology of relationships, I wasn't adequately prepared for dealing with narcissistic people. I found myself flustered, fumbling, and defensive when working with these clients. They could push my buttons like no one else could. One of my first encounters with a narcissistic client came while I was an intern. My job was to conduct interviews with couples in the process of divorcing and assist them in resolving disputes on matters of child custody and visitation. Let's just say that diving into frigid waters headfirst from the highest cliff would have been benign by comparison. My baptism by fire began when an attractive 45-year-old man arrived to our session ahead of his soon-to-be ex-wife. He glared at me, A 25-year-old woman in a navy blue suit sporting a clipboard, a welcoming handshake, and barely ripened clinical expertise. He took a seat, sighed, looked at his watch, and then asked, "Just exactly how damn long will this take?" Before he could stutter a response, he asked, "When will the counselor be arriving?" I am pretty good at staving off color rising toward my face, so with a forced smile, I replied, "I am the counselor." He rolled his eyes, threw back his head with disapproval, and turned to stare out the window, impatiently tapping a finger on the arm of his chair. In the uncomfortable silence, I first thought about a career in floral design, but I then told myself, "Wendy, this is a disgruntled man who is going through a divorce. He has a lot on his mind. He's just upset. You can handle it. You have your inventory of questions. You are rehearsed, and you have an order from the court. Yes, you are uncomfortable with bullies, but you will get through it. You know how to focus, and you are sensitive to your clients." His wife arrived about 5 minutes later, seemed like days. She was a lovely woman and was immediately apologetic for being late. She introduced herself and said hello to her husband, who didn't respond, and took a seat. I proceeded to open the session by reviewing the information I had received from the court. He continued to sigh heavily, staring up at the ceiling. She nodded, affirming that all the information was correct. The document stated the reasons for court-ordered mediation. The couple could not agree on who should have primary custody of their three children. He proposed joint physical custody, and she wanted sole physical custody, granting him reasonable and unlimited visitation. Before I could finish reading the proposal, he interrupted me, rose to his feet, and scowled down at his wife. She immediately dropped her head and fixed her eyes on her shoes as he barked, "This is a total waste of time. There will be no mediation. We will go to trial, and then you'll see what you get." Then, looking at me, he continued, "Put that in your official record, Miss Counselor. And tell the courts that I am through with this mediation bullshit. She thinks because she is finally getting her little divorce that she can have my kids, too. Well, we'll see about that. The only way my kids stand a chance of achieving functional brains and a successful future is by living with me. Do you know who I am, Miss Counselor? Do you? I am one of the most well-respected litigation attorneys in this state, so good luck to both of you." With that, he threw his papers on the floor and stormed out. The woman cried into her hands. Although I felt like joining her, I swallowed the lump in my throat and began to inquire about what just happened. She said her husband was, in fact, a very well-known and successful lawyer, and that she would be doomed in trial because of his reputation and his connections. She said his intimidating style had snuffed out the courage and flattened the egos of many marriage counselors. No one could hold him accountable. Her tone was despairing, and when I noticed, she said that she had been distraught for a very long time. Her husband was a difficult man and the product of a very painful childhood. She said that she loved him, but just couldn't live with his scorching behaviors anymore, and no one seemed able to help. She was puzzled. How could someone so sweet and sensitive as a boy become such an overbearing egotist? We sighed together. I gave her some recommendations for support, and the session ended. I turned in my non-compliance report, and that was the last I saw of them. When I think about that couple, I wonder if anyone ever reached him. What happened to the children? What happened to her? I vividly remember my unease, my skin temperature rising, my heart rate increasing, my stomach knotting. A love of words, decent communication skills, and a chronic fascination with the human condition were silenced by an unfamiliar sensation, a loss of confidence. It wasn't just the bullying. It was his arrogant, entitled demeanor. It was as
sample complete. Ready to continue?